Hi, this is Randall Schwartz, host of Floss Weekly. We're going to be talking OSCON this year. Yeah, it's that time of year again when a big open source conference happens. You're not going to want to miss this, so stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz, episode 382, recorded April 5th, 2016, OSCON Preview. This episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by DigitalOcean, simple and fast cloud hosting built for developers. Deploy an SSD cloud server in 55 seconds. Try it today for free. Visit DigitalOcean.com, and once you sign up, be sure to enter the promo code FLOSS in the billing section to get your $10 credit. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show about free, libre, open-source software. I am your host, Randall Schwartz, MerlinUsenage.com, bringing you each week the movers, the shakers, the big projects, the little projects, projects you may be using every day and not aware of it, projects you may want to download right after the show. And on some special shows, we talk about things that are not directly open-source projects, but rather projects about open-source, as we do today. Today's theme is OSCON, one of the show that's really very familiar with me, because I've been going to OSCON since back when it was called the Pearl Conference, which is like, I don't know, 15, 16, 17 years ago. God, time flies. And normally at this point, I would be introducing my lovely co-host, all my talented panel of rotating co-hosts. But at the last minute, my co-host had to cancel. And so I'm left flying solo. Just call me Ran Solo, I guess will be the way to do that. And I'm actually broadcasting from a brand new place. This is the other end of the apartment. You might have seen the bedroom set where I usually tape. That's right where the sun is coming through the windows right now, so I can't do it that. So I decided to go ahead and try out the kitchen set. So this is a lovely working kitchen right here. It's right there. So there we go. Normally my roommate, Michelle, is in there doing something, but she's at work today right now. Anyway, see, since I don't have anybody to banter with, I don't know what else to say in the morning. So we do have two people. Yeah, we have two people that represent OSCON. They're on the chair committee. Well, I'll let them describe themselves a little bit better. And we have Rachel, whose last name I'm going to mutilate, which is, let me get Raumiliotis, something close to that, and Scott Hanselman. I'll bring them on in just a second. And again, we normally like now recap what we think this is all about, but we're not going to do that. We actually have a very important message before we go there. Because whether you're developing an app, a website, or working on a server-based project, you need flexible, reliable, and affordable hosting. DigitalOcean offers Droplets, which are virtual private servers that can be customized and deployed easily to host websites, web apps, production applications, personal projects, virtual desktops, and almost anything else you can think of with full root access. This helps you get your project off the ground quickly and make it easy to scale when you find success. DigitalOcean is used by over 600,000 developers, including me. I found out about DigitalOcean about a year and a half ago, and I found they run FreeBSD as one of their options. I said, that's my machine, because almost everybody else just runs only Linux. Okay, deploy and configure your droplets via a streamlined control panel or a simple API. You can choose your OS, Ubuntu, CentOS, Debian, Fedora, CoreOS, and FreeBSD, as I said. You can select from one of many pre-configured one-clicks like Drupal, Docker, or Node.js to get up and running quickly or build the exact infrastructure you need with root access to servers running 100% SSDs. Boy, those are fast. In state-of-the-art data centers around the world. It's highly scalable to meet the demands of a rapidly growing application or business. You can also use advanced features like floating IPs for high availability, private networking, and automated deployments via API. It has an extremely active community with a large and detailed set of tutorials on all the ways you can use your Droplet. Want to configure a LAMP server, set up a virtual desktop or VPN? They've got you covered. And it's so easy to get started, you can deploy an SSD cloud server in as little as 55 seconds. DigitalOcean has incredibly affordable and straightforward pricing. Servers start at only $5 per month. There's also hourly pricing available, starting at less than a penny an hour. But we're going to make it so you can get started today and deploy an SSD cloud server for free. Visit DigitalOcean.com and create an account. Once you confirm your email and account information, go to the billing section and enter the promo code FLOSS for a free $10 credit. That's plenty to get started and explore what DigitalOcean can do. That's DigitalOcean.com, and once you sign up, enter the code FLOSS in the billing section to get your $10 credit for free. We thank DigitalOcean for their support of FLOSS Weekly. And now let's go ahead and bring on our guest, Rachel. Welcome back to the show, I should say. Yes.
Yes, thank you. Good to be here. Very happy. Yeah, I think it was a year ago. I don't know if to the day, but we're here for OSCON 2016.
Very cool. And also bring on Scott. Scott, welcome to the show. I don't think you've ever been on my show yet.
No, I haven't actually. I'm surprised. As many years as it's been, I probably should have come on for something else. And I'm more than happy to come and chat about whatever you like. But yeah, today we're talking about OSCOM, but happy to talk about whatever.
So, Rachel, why don't you go ahead and get us started? For those who have lived under a rock for 16 years, what is OSCON? What's the 30,000-foot view of it?
30,000-foot view of it is it's a developers conference on open source technologies, which is to say it's about almost all technology for software developers. And we made some changes last year that involved looking at the conference in a different way than we had previously had it set up, which was by programming language. Now we're looking at it by problem solution, like I mentioned, which is architecture issues, infrastructure issues, performance, and then the soft skills stuff like leadership, business of open source, that sort of thing.
Well, the biggest change this year, as far as I'm concerned, is you're not in my hometown. What happened?
That is true. So we love Portland. I'm sure we'll be back there, but we wanted to try and take the OSCON and the open source to another area of the U.S. to make sure that everybody gets a chance to take a look at what OSCON has to offer.
Yep, and, I'm a Portlander, of course, as well. You know, so I would prefer to just take the Macs down to OSCON and have for many, many years. But I like to joke that it's Austin is kind of Southeast Portland. If there's a wormhole between Southeast Portland and Northwest Austin, we just take it there. But it's centrally located and allows people to get there. So it's effectively a reasonably weird town. So we could figure we'd give it a try there.
I don't think there's a TV series called Austinlia.
Portlandia. Austinlandia.
Yeah, right.
I'm not sure. There should be. It's a super weird town. It's a friendly open source town. And, again, I'm going to have to take a flight. So, hopefully other people will too.
Yep. Well, I'm definitely planning it. Already bought my tickets, in fact. So that's in place. What's the venue like? And for those that are familiar with the convention center, that was a really great venue to put that in. Lots of little nooks and crannies and big rooms for big events, things like that. Are we going to something similar in Austin?
So it's going to be at the Austin Convention Center, which is a huge, huge venue, which houses South by Southwest, which has already happened this year, and I hear they've cleaned up since. So it will be all set for us. But it's a great venue. I've been there before for South by Southwest. There's big areas, small areas. It's a good downtown, and I think people will like it a lot.
And I'm also understanding that it's adjacent to, what do they call it, 6th Street, 5th Street, the place where all the venues are?
Yes, I would liken that to Bourbon Street. So that's where Voodoo Donuts is, if anyone saw my Twitter. There is a Voodoo Donuts there. I walked past it and was like, what?
Austin has a Voodoo Donuts now?
Yes. Can you believe it? It's on 6th Street.
I don't know how I feel about that. I'm not sure. As a Portlander, I feel that that's somehow both fascinating and also quite wrong. I don't know.
It's part of the wormhole effect, I think.
For people who don't know, Voodoo Donut is iconic. It is the essence of Portland. It's the only place in Portland where you go and you get a bacon maple bar, and now you're saying that it's in another city, which ultimately supports my theory about it being Southeast Portland, but still awkward. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. And my hotel is actually at the other end of that. So every day I'm going to be forced to walk all the way through that. Oh, well. So what's the structure of the conference look like?
Scott, do you want to start or do you?
So as far as what's changed? Because I don't want you to think that it's a completely break the conference up into pieces and do it entirely differently. The idea was just to have more of the essence of what people like about OSCON. So a little more space between talks, so you have more hallway track, rather than being siloed where it's like all the Perl people are here and all the Go people hang out there. We wanted to be a little bit more practitioner friendly. I think and Rachel can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we believe that people are focused more on solutions that are hybrids and picking the right language. So often a solution is a multi-language kind of a situation. So rather than having tracks by language, we have tracks by by solution or by practitioner. That's a change, but ultimately you're still going to see familiar faces.
And so the first 2 days of the conference are going to be tutorials, and then the second two are traditional, like 90-minute meeting, 45-minute meetings.
Yeah, so we have 6 2-day training courses on Swift, Rust, Java, a number of different topics. And then we have over 40, I think it is, tutorials on those first 2 days as well. So lots of in-depth content on the first two. And like you're saying, the last two, which I believe are April 18th and 19th, or not April, it's in May, so don't worry about that. May 18th and 19th, that's when you'll see all the sessions. So we have 10 tracks, 140 sessions. And you're right, they're about 45 minutes long each. So...
Cool.
A lot.
Well, and you've left a little more time to get between room and room. I know that was a bit of a problem at the last few conferences.
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, the hallway track at OzCon's amazing. So you want to make sure that people have time to check things out. And I would actually encourage people, too, to come a day early during the tutorials, even if you're not going to be there, because we have cool sort of free one-day things, which are there's one, a thing called All the Bots, which we've announced, which is going to be all about, you know, AI. And we're going to have the people from BotKit there, and we're going to actually have a hackathon that afternoon. And then we're going to do something else called OzCon Contribute, which is a little bit of a theme that we're having throughout all of OzCon, which is making the tent bigger and making it making end users into contributors. And so if you've never contributed to open source and you're really interested, we're going to have a place where it's like friendly and welcoming, and you can actually help these projects with any issues that they're having and actually become an open source contributor. So we think that's pretty cool, too.
Now, when you move to Austin, one thing you have to have, well, what's the weather going to be like that time of year, this time of year, whatever it is?
Well, I know that we paid for sun.
Ah.
Yes. Yep. So my understanding, one of the reasons we moved it to May rather than July is because apparently in July we would melt to the... So what I'm looking forward to is maybe 80s, not so humid, but it should be amazing. Because it's snowing way up here in Boston. It snowed yesterday, and now there's snow on the ground, which is hideous.
Yeah, that's always bad when that happens. You did schedule at least one rain day, though, just so we'll still feel familiar, right?
We'll have stations for native Portlanders that can go and get drizzled on if they would like. I'd be more than happy to set up an outdoor sun shower, and we'll just go ahead and make sure that the Portlanders are able to rust appropriately.
Oh, there goes a bad pun. I don't actually know the answer to this, but do you have people that come to the conference and not register for anything, but just hang around for to talk to other people they might bump into?
In fact, we do. We have something called the Expo Hall Plus Pass, which gets you into the Expo Hall, the hallway, some, you know, sponsored events, keynotes, that sort of thing. And yeah, I mean, there's tons of cool people at OzCon, both that have been going there for 17 years. And there's also a super cool startup scene in Austin. And we expect lots and lots of those folks to be around. So, you know, obviously, we put together the program. We think it's amazing, and it's going to help you in your career. But the hallway track, I think, is great for networking, meeting new people, getting new ideas.
I winced a little bit there when you said that, because I think that that is a dirty little secret, that sometimes the hallway track is pretty fantastic. And I do admit, having gone to conferences and not, you know, intending fully to attend all the sessions and intending only the hallway track.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And do you have big parties planned? As being one of the guys who used to do huge parties at OzCon, do you have anything cool like that going on?
We do have a big party, attendee party, as usual. Those of you that have been there in Portland know that usually we have it in the conference center. This time we're taking it outside, and I believe we have some local Austin music, which they have a ton of. So we're really excited to be able to offer that. And I'm sure there will be lots of sort of unofficial parties as well.
Cool. I'm looking forward to that too. Although you can only be in so many places at once. I mean, it's like all the birds of a feather sessions. I'm sure you're going to have that again. And then there's parties across from that. And I'm like, no, I got to go to this BOF. So it's really fun when there's way too much stuff to do. So that, and I know OzCon's always like that. But one of the things I'm curious about is it's cut back to 4 days instead of five. What drove that decision?
Well, we actually had a lot of people kind of ditch out on that last day. It's just, it's so intense, honestly, that I think by day five, people are like, man, I got to get out of here, which is understandable because it's just, you can only take in so much information in that time period, but that leaves you a day to look around Austin, which has amazing barbecue. I think about it often. And it's just, it's a great town. So I would still stay the day. I'm sure there will be lots of OzConners still in Austin. But yeah, I think we pretty much fill people up with 4 days.
Yeah, I think having a tight four is better than four, and then kind of like no one wants to be 3:30 on Friday afternoon. And she's right. People do tend to bail. This makes it a little easier for travel as well.
And then this is the only conference that O'Reilly does that's like very broad. All the rest of the conferences seem to be a little more targeted. Has some of that taken away from the people who normally would have gone to OzCon for it?
No, well, no. So last year we had 10 tracks. So we have 10 tracks this year as well. I guess it was just, you know, we always get so many proposals and we pick about 10%. So we had to shave a little bit off there. I think we had maybe like 160-180 sessions last year, and now we have 140. So no, it's still very broad. The unifying factor is sort of open source software, which is sort of the de facto software, as we were saying. It's, you know, best practices for developers. But I mean, it goes from infrastructure to architecture to leadership skills, 101 stuff, community. So it really, there is a breadth of content there still.
John O'Bacon, there we go. I'm getting old. Is John O'Bacon doing a leadership summit
yes.
again?
Yep. The leadership, the CLS summit will be there, or I guess CL summit will be there. And that's great. We're having him as usual heading into the event, I believe on Monday. But that's there. I know I've seen him talking about it, so that'll be a good event as usual, I'm sure. And then what's great is that the people that go to that can continue on into OzCon, because we do have collaboration and community sessions that people can go to.
Wonderful. And is there a Kids Day again? I know that was a pretty big hit a couple years ago at least.
I believe we just launched the event as far as purchasing tickets. So I've started to see people, the actual like Eventbrite tickets rolling in. So yeah. So we're definitely doing that again.
Kids Day is going to be on Sunday the 15th from 10 a.m. to 5. And it's partnering with DevOx for Kids. So you're going to have a whole day of workshops for kind of like school age kids. And their laptops and everything will be provided, and it's only, you know, $25, and you get a T-shirt and lunch for the kid plus the parent. So, you know, Kids Day, I think, is just personally as a parent, is just about as cool as OzCon itself. And I brought my kids last year, so I would definitely encourage parents to tack that part on to the front.
And you did you just say DevOps for Kids?
DevOx, DevOxx.
Okay.
And then the number four kids. I know DevOx.
Okay.
Yeah, I like to keep my kids in the NOC as well. I mostly, they sleep up there and they just keep the servers humming. But yeah. not DevOps for Kids. Although that's actually an interesting idea. Maybe we have a new possible child labor situation there.
Yes.
8-year-olds logging into DigitalOcean perhaps and making sure that my machines are okay.
DevOps for toddlers.
Yeah. It could happen. It could be a thing.
Yeah, my long-term employer, long-term contract, ZipRecruiter actually did a April Fool's Day thing of jobs for babies. It was really cute, real nice video there. I think you can still get to it from the front page. And as I said in the opening, this thing started as the Pearl Conference. Pearl still has a few special events there, like the State of the Onion. Are we doing that again this year?
I'm not sure if that would be something in the evening that would be happening. I know that Larry Wall has a session on Pearl 6. We have a tutorial on introducing Pearl 6. From what I understand, it's going to be super interesting, very different from Pearl 5, which I'm sure you know already.
It's like a whole different language. It is, actually.
It's like one better.
One better, right. And then there's the Pearl 11 project, which is putting 5 and 6 and improving the performance of them. We actually had on, we'll have on next week, the guy who sort of makes that happen. So, would also be like lightning talks?
We're going to do the OzCon Ignite one night. I don't know what night that is, but we are doing that. And the CFP for that, I believe, is open right now. So you can go to OzCon.com and enter in there. But that's always a favorite. So we'll definitely be having that. I think actually the hosts are Scott and Kelsey, right, Scott?
Oh. Yep.
Cool.
Absolutely.
So
I've never done one of those at OSCON, but I did one karaoke for fun and profit at the Portland one. That was a lot of fun. So, and boy, that takes a skill, though, to do that. That's lots of prep, lots of practice, lots of careful selection of materials and getting the timing down and make it still look like it's improv, but actually, you know, have it, your timing down to a quarter of a second or so. So I
like
had fun doing
it. Pretend that it's a TED Talk because I can't get into TED Talks, so I just pretend that like night talks are TED Talks.
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah,
makes me feel better.
Now, what's the difference between the Austin Conference, Austin OSCON? That's hard to say. Austin OSCON. You've said that a few times already. And the one is it London this year?
Yes, we're going to have one in London. So what we try to do with all of, when we go to a new city or an old city, I guess, we want to make sure that it is sort of that city. So one of the things we've been looking at with OSCON is that we want to make sure like we're going to have a startup pavilion with Austin startups. And we want to make sure that, if there's a focus on, say, I think Node.js is big in Austin, we want to make sure that we cover Node.js. So London, kind of the same thing. So London, we want to make sure that the people, from London, there's a lot of people there that they're, they give sessions that, London's a big finance city. Talk about fintech stuff. So we just want to make sure we're reflective. We know, usually when you have a conference, about 20% of the people come from the local area. So you want it to be reflective of that area, but also keep in mind that people do travel in. So it's a little bit of a balance.
Okay. And again, you'll have the expo hall. Are you still going to have like cheap or gratis booths for the organizations, the open source organizations, as opposed to the vendors?
Yes. Yep. We have a big nonprofit. Well, it's not even a pavilion because it's actually interspersed throughout the expo hall this year in Austin. I haven't seen the map for London, but I assume it will be something very similar. But yeah, that's something we really want to make sure that we continue to do and we've done for years. That'll be all over the expo hall this year.
And actually, if I may, one of the things that Kelsey and I wanted to do, because, we're kind of like, we're volunteers. We don't work for O'Reilly. I work for Microsoft. He works for Google. And we came with our ideas about how we wanted to do things. And we have to have this balance, right? Because Kelsey and I, as community people, say, we want things done this way. And O'Reilly's like, well, we're still trying to make a conference here, so we can't just, give away free donuts for everyone. But they took all of our different ideas and integrated it into the conference. So to the point of booths and stuff, Kelsey and I made the comment that there's like the big giant booths for the big companies that spend lots of money. And then there's like the little open source booth. And I remember a couple of years ago, there was a little hardware person that had like some amazing open source hardware, but they just had a table in the back and they didn't have a good location. So we mentioned like, couldn't we sprinkle the tiny booths into the areas where the big booths are so that someone who's got a little tiny table gets, walking traffic. And they came up with a layout that kind of mixes those things up such that it's not like there's a sequestered area in the back for like the cheap seats. And that's just like one example of about 50 different pieces of feedback that Kelsey and I gave them and work with Rachel and with the folks at O'Reilly to make sure that it's still OSCON, but all the little tiny things that we thought could be tweaked, could make it better, as longtime attendees would also get fixed. And they were pretty cool with it.
And, for the tutorial days, the first 2 days, at least the last few years, there's been lunch provided, so people wouldn't have to go rush out and come back. Are you continuing that tradition?
Yep, we're going to feed everybody. But like I said, people should definitely check out. Hopefully we'll be able to give some barbecue, but there's lots of barbecue. I feel like I should start listing it out now.
We should have food carts.
Yeah, I wonder if we can do that. Okay, we'll look into that. But yeah, there'll be food provided. Yep.
But not on the third and fourth day, because that's more public. Or was there food provided every day?
Well, the 2 day training is so the kids' day is the 15th, 2 day training is the 16th and the 17th.
And there's lunch on all days. Yep.
And there's lunch on all days.
I don't know why I forgot that. Weird. Okay. Well,
we're going to keep you fit.
Yeah. That's right. I keep you track there.
You will not starve, we promise.
Oh, that's very good. And hopefully, again, like you said, a little bit of local stuff, you can get it in there. That's pretty cool. What am I leaving out? What are the pricing tiers? I mean, you can, I think the most expensive thing is just buying the whole thing, buying tutorials and normal track. I understand that. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, no. You go ahead. Finish.
I was just going to ask. I hear there's a promo code that if you haven't actually signed up yet, you can actually get a discount. Is that correct?
There, yes. So to go over, there's the hallway pass. I call it the hallway pass. It's like the Expo Hall Plus pass, and that's $49. So you mm-hmm. can get that gets you into the hallway, the Expo Hall, the keynotes, the sponsored sessions, and the OzCon contribute I mentioned, and then also all the bots day. So then after that, there's a bronze level, I think, which is the session days. Then there's a couple of different ones where it's like tutorial day, two tutorials. And then there's like you said, like the giant ticket of them all, the golden ticket, which is 2-day training plus the sessions plus, you know, you get a video or something like that. Yes, and we do have discount codes. We have many different ones.
The one for this show is Floss. Makes it easy to remember.
There you go. Floss.
Okay, yes.
So, and the other thing I wanted to mention, and we can come back to this, but we have some really cool keynotes that are different, I think, than we've had before. And that was, again, with the help of Kelsey and Scott. We're kicking it off with a Nerdcore performance by a woman named Samus, which is really mm-hmm. cool. We're going to have some woman talk about, and Scott, jump in here, about DIY pancreas, which I just find like fascinating.
So in the kind of tradition of practitioning, right, we thought about like, can people give talks about real world examples of stuff that they've done? So for example, we've got Dana Lewis, who works on the, what's called the Open APS artificial pancreas system. And she and her husband and a team have built a closed-loop diabetes management system that runs on a Raspberry Pi. And this is not like – it's not theoretical. It is like there are plans and you can go and make that happen. And she's been running on this now for, I think, 18 months. So she has a backpack and she has this Raspberry Pi that manages her blood sugar by taking sensor data in from a continuous glucose meter and then automatically driving an insulin pump. And it's entirely networked and self-managed, and she has minimal things to keep her blood sugar running. Now, it's entirely, you know, off the grid and not FDA approved, but it's also entirely open source, and so we're going to have her there, which is pretty amazing. And then, of course, the example that Rachel gave of Samus, she is a PhD student and an adjunct professor and also a Nerdcore and quite successful rapper, and she's got Samus is Samus, and for folks who maybe think that is a familiar sounding name, Samus is the name of the main character from the Nintendo Metroid series. So you can go out and Google for Samus or DuckDuckGo for Samus with two M's, and she's amazingly talented, and she's going to join us for a couple of songs, and that's going to be cool. We've got Joseph Shirosh, who's going to talk about machine learning, and we've got Dr. Kyla McMullen, who is a computer science professor, and she's going to talk about how do we get more people showing up into open source from school. Gosh, who else do we have? I have to go look at the list. We have two days of keynotes. Yeah.
Solomon Hikes is going to join us, although I don't think that is on the site yet. Of course, Simon Wardley, I feel like everyone's favorite. We're going to get an update mm-hmm. from him this year, see what he has to say. Cory Doctorow is going to talk to us about the Internet of Things. Who else? I don't know, but it seems really cool. I'm very happy with how the keynote's turned
out. Erica Brescia from Bitnami. Yep. Angel Diaz from IBM, mm-hmm. VP of Cloud at IBM. Cory, like you said. Who else we got here? Yeah, I mean, it's going to... The feeling, the story arc for the keynotes and the way that we try to design it was, you know, how did we get here on day one and where do we go on day two with some real practitioners that do real stuff. So it's going to be a little bit less philosophical and a little bit more how do we put open source software to work today to solve real problems.
I'm sure you got some talks on like the business models that you can use in open source, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. So we have a whole track, business of open source, because I think that companies are at different points with it. I think developers are kind of like, yeah, we know, we get it. But, you know, there's times when you have to explain to maybe someone in the C-suite why you would want to do open source, or what are best practices, or how do you spin up a project and not worry about that it's open source? You know, do you do some incubation thing? So there's a whole track like that, which I think, you know, we always say open source is one. What's the next step? And now it's sort of one of the things is figuring out how do we integrate this into business in a good way that keeps open source as strong as it is and keeps it growing. But also, you know, take into account, okay, like how does having a huge, huge business spinning up and reaching millions of people use open source correctly and not crash and not be, you know, insecure?
I think that's actually, you know, having been in open source for an extremely long time, like most of my adult career, that is one of the things that I found real fascinating to watch that evolve from being, how can I convince my boss to let me use some open source for this? And now it's more like, well, duh, open source. And then, but now we need to make sure we've got models for real, you know, return on investment and being able to share properly and being able to get support for the things that we don't want to bring that support in-house. And of course, OSCON has evolved to sort of mirror that, mimic that. So I'm glad to hear that you're slowly shifting to, well, what combination of tools should I use together, which is really mm-hmm. a fascinating thing to me. I'm, you know, of course, I'd reach for Perl immediately, and then I go, well, what else can I use with Perl? but there's like 6 or 7 high performance web servers now. So when would you use Nginx? When would you use Apache still? And I'm glad that there are people that keep addressing this at these conferences. And some of the BOFs sort of slide around to that, too. You want to describe what a BOF is for the people who haven't heard of this yet?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically our unconference portion of OSCON. It's in the evening. You can sign up for Birds of a Feather. You can put up – we have a board where you can say, hey, I want to talk about, you know, building robots with Legos, or I want to talk about, like, when I should use Nginx. And if there are like-minded people, they will come and join you.
And it's really great because you provide the space for it, too. It's not just in the hallway meeting with people. You're actually taking the same conference rooms.
That is true. We have that. We also have tribe tables at lunch where also you can kind of do, I guess, an even more unofficial BOF where we put together, you know, architects, women in tech, you know, if you want to talk about business, leadership, that sort of thing.
I like that there's still 2 Perl tables. It keeps whittling down. Perl starts to be the whisper at the bottom of the conference now, but it's still in there. It's the heart of it. It's still Perl.
There's lots of Perl still out there.
I know. I'm just joking. Now I've completely lost my train of thought. I was actually just calculating out that the $49 for the Expo only track still gets you the snacks, right? Still gets you the beer and the ice cream and stuff.
So
for $49, you could actually feed yourself. It's just pretty good.
I love that you're keeping it real when it comes to the food situation. I'm not trying to tease you, but I think that's fantastic because that's what's important, right? It's like, but are there going to be snacks? can someone tell Randall if there will be snacks here? I need barbecue, and we need to make sure that every day there's snacks all 4 days. Yes.
It's like snacks. a baby back rib and a beer once
a day. Exactly. I will personally buy you food if you are ever in need of food while we are down there. You just give me a call. We'll go out. We'll get some barbecue. It's absolutely true.
Well, the one thing I actually found quite rewarding last year was one of the vendors actually got me because they brought in the bacon maple bar. And I couldn't eat the maple bar, but I just grabbed a big pile of bacon. I was happy. It was like, yay, finally some non-carby snacks. That was really cool. So maybe OSCON is all about food for me. I don't know. I also appreciate, though, that, you know, OSCON and formerly the Perl Conference were sort of the main thing. You know, people would look at my books and go walk to me and go, hey, I really love your books. But over the past few years, they've not been doing that so much. They're still Perl people. They still like my books. But now, because of this audience that I'm getting from Floss Weekly, people keep coming to me and go, great podcast. So it's been a whole new place where I can find people to put on here and coordinate with, or just kind of, you know, have a little fan conversation. So the people there are paying attention to things like this show, and I'm really happy for that too. We're almost out of time, so I just wanted to kind of make sure we're wrapping up with having said everything you wanted to say in this show. Is there any other big pieces of things that I somehow missed over?
The only thing I would say is, you know, if you're in development, you're probably using open source, and we want you to come to OSCON. We want to make the tent bigger. We want open source to thrive. We want OSCON to thrive. And we want to hear what you have to say. So we want to hear your voice. And if not in the program this year, at least in the hallway track, and then make sure you put in a session proposal next year.
Yeah, and compete with 10 people just like you.
Yeah.
I got turned down the last 2 years, so it's like that's the way it is, I guess. Even somebody like me who's talked a lot, because there's no guarantee it for anybody. It's really nice.
It's intense competition.
Yes, indeed. And Scott, any last words?
No, I just think it's going to be cool. I'm happy to be involved and to be changing things, hopefully for the better. Rachel said, and you know, I'm sorry that there are people who didn't necessarily get in, but it was literally like 10% of submissions. It was more submissions this year than I think we ever had. Sure. Is that correct,
yep.
Rachel?
That is correct.
So it was a balance between how do you keep it OzCon, but then how do you also get new topics, new faces, new opportunities to hear people speak who are doing legitimately amazing work, but maybe haven't given a lot of talks before. So mm-hmm. Yeah, some hard decisions were made, but I think that it is the OzCon that we need today in 2016.
Real good, real good. And I want to thank the both of you for coming on today's show. Rachel, how's your last name pronounced?
Romeliotis. You were actually pretty close.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay,
Romeliotis. Good job.
Okay, so Rachel and Scott, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks
for having us.
All righty. So that was Rachel and Scott talking to us about OzCon. And right now is where I'd normally hand it off to my co-host. Now I don't know what I'm supposed to do to transition. So we'll just go right into – I do have an enhancement of last week's conversation. We were talking about the Mozilla encryption campaign. And somewhere during the wrap-up, as I was wrapping with Simon, I mentioned that there was a page that the EFF had that talked more about how to get encryption and secrecy and privacy from all sorts of different levels. And I looked up the URL finally for this week's show. That would be ssd.eff.org. So I highly recommend that if you have any concern, there are recipes there, soup to nuts. What do I install on my system to have encrypted email? How do I have a conversation that's encrypted chat? How can people spy on us? Why do I have to watch for HTTPS on website things? And so check that page out. I found it about at last year's DragonCon, actually. I was on a panel with some on the EFF track at DragonCon, and the guy did a talk about this and a few other things. So I wanted to pass that URL on for you. Coming up, we have two shows with Will the Chill Braswell. He's a big guy in the Perl community. He's going to be talking about next week, he'll be talking about the future of Perl performance. And then the following week, we'll be talking about our Perl, which he's actually found a way to speed up Perl, standard off-the-shelf 5.20, I think it is, release, by a factor of 200%. That's really exciting me. I can't wait to get those done there. So and then right after that, I'll be at OzCon in Austin. There we go. I'm going to be down there. I'm interviewing whoever I can find on Tuesday, which means I have to really hunt on Monday to see what we can get there. I think Simon might be joining me there too, but hard to tell. Oh, no, Simon's not going yet unless somebody sponsors his travel. It says coming from the UK is expensive these days. Following that, we have Buoy, which is a private community-based crisis response system, basically a way to notify your friends that you may be in some sort of danger or concern, like you're walking down a street and you see somebody following you. You can push a button and it pages all your friends, and also then gives a continuous GPS coordinates so that they can see if anything's going crazy. Following that, we have a really interesting guy whose name I did not write here, but he's got the Simple project, which is a simple API for making PDFs out of templates. But that's just an excuse to get him on the show. He's actually got a lot to say about open source community, and so on. So that'll be really cool. And then following that is the best practices badge. So you can get go through a checklist with your open source project and make sure that you're following best practices all the way down. And if so, you get to put a little banner on your web pages and in your documentation that says, we follow best practices, and here's how you can find out what we did to make that happen. So we've got some more slots open. If you go to twit.tv/floss, that's the homepage for this show, you'll see the big spreadsheet, which talks about all our upcoming guests. I can always use more guests, though. I mean, I've sent out probably 8 to 10 to 12 emails and maybe get one new guest. We've got a couple in the pipeline that aren't actually on that spreadsheet right now. But, you know, I send out so much mail, and these are people who have agreed to be on the show. So anyway, I hope to have all of them on eventually. But actually, sometimes it's gone long enough that the project is now dead. So they wanted to be on my show. I said, I'll send you the
list when it comes up to for second quarter, and then I send them something, or I don't send them something on that cycle, but the next cycle I send it out, and then I go and the website's gone. You know, it's like, oh, that's too bad. You gotta have community around your open source project if you want it to survive. And a purpose for living, too, that also helps. So we're still filling Q2. We've got a few more slots left open. We do a live stream at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesdays at live.twit.tv. Normally, there are two sets of eyes that can start watching the live chat, one being the host, the other being whoever's not hosting at the moment. But I was constantly having to focus on chatting with my friends here, and so I didn't get to look at the live chat hardly at all, except once or twice. But you can actually give questions for our guests. Really kind of fun that way, and contribute to the show from behind the scenes. You can follow us at Floss Weekly on Google Plus or at Floss Weekly on the old Twitters. You can follow me at Merlin on Twitter, but mostly I source my information on Google Plus at Randall L. Schwartz. So I am going to be at OSCON, of course, in a few weeks. I'm also going to be at YAPSE North America, which is going to be in Orlando. You know, you think Austin in July would have been bad. Orlando in August, I think, is another bad decision. But we'll see once I get down there. FISLE down in Porto Alegre, Brazil, in about 2-3 weeks after that. And as I mentioned, I go to Dragon Con pretty much every year. And that's in Hotlanta, September, Labor Day weekend, where I'm, again, on the EFF track and probably the podcasting track. So hopefully, if you're at any one of those four conferences and you see me, please come up and say hi and tell me you're a Floss Weekly listener. It also helps me out to know that I'm actually doing this for a reason, to have people be informed. Again, this is normally where I'd hand off to the co-host, but hey, nobody to hand it off to. So we'll see you all again next week on Floss Weekly.